Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Rivka Bas Yitzchak Avram Pinchas Ben Moshe. We're also learning Le'ili Nishmas Miril Bat Reb Aryeh Lev HaKohen. Yitz Hashem, all the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Now we're on Yud Aleph, Omud Aleph. We're in the third line with the words Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. And he is going to continue with the opening comments that many of these great Amoraim made before they started giving shir on Megillas Esther. So we had yesterday, and we'll continue today, giving many of their opening comments, how they introduced the shir on Megillas Esther. So again, three lines on the top, Yud Aleph Umud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, when he would give the shir, Pasach Lo Pischo Loha Parshosu Mehocho, he would introduce his shir on Megillas Esther with the following vart. And he said, the Pasuk from Tehillim, Hirkafto Enosh L'Roshenu, you placed a person, you literally mounted a person on our heads, banu v'esh v'mayim, and you brought us into esh, which is fire, and mayim is water. And then some have the gears over here that they also quote the end of the pasuk, v'atotzienu l'irvaya, and you made a lot. You brought us into a great amount. Now, what does this mean? So we dash in this pasuk. What does it mean that you're a kafta enosh l'roshenu? That means you placed a person over us, as we'll see later on. We have the idea that a person, not a king, was placed over us. That's Haman. Hirkafta enosh l'roshenu. And then it says, Ba'esh, you brought us into Ba'esh. What does that mean? Bimei Nebuchadnezzar Russia, you placed us into the fire of Nebuchadnezzar Russia. This is a reference to that Nebuchadnezzar Russia, he put Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshana Esh. So that's Banu Ba'esh. And then Uvamayim, into water. What's that a reference to? That's Bimei Paro, that you had Nebuch, the Jewish people, thrown into the Nilus, right? We're learning about this now in Parsha Shemos. The Jewish people were thrown into the Nile River. If the boys were born, they were thrown into the river. And then the conclusion of the Pasuk, Vatotzienu l'Rivaya, you brought us out into great plenty, that's Bimei Haman. Okay. Gemara continues, Rav Yochanan, before he would give the shir on Megillas Esther, Pasuk l'Pischo l'ay Parshasa Me'acha, he opened up his shir on Megillas Esther with the following drasha, and he brought down the Pasuk that we have from Tehillim as well, Zohar Chasto ve'emunaso l'Beis Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the kindness and his promise to Klal Yisrael, emunaso l'Beis Yisrael, and Roch l'Afsi Aretz, and all the people of the world, from one end to the other world, will see Es Yeshua Selokeinu, they'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us. Now, what does this mean? When will all the world see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say it does mean? Because the domain, the empire of Ahasuerus was all over the world, and they saw the wonderful victory that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us over the rest of the world. Now, Reish Lakish, when he would give his shir on Megillas Esther, he would give his introductory comments in the following way. He said the pasuk for Mishlei. The pasuk for Mishlei says, Ari Noheim, a lion roars, Vidov Shokek, and a bear growls. Moshel Rasha, a wicked ruler, is Al Amdol, is ruling over a poor nation. So we dash in each piece. Ari Noheim, that's a reference to Bavel. Then Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, this is the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, the Rasha, the evil one. The Sibbet says about him, Ola Aye Misuvcho, that the lion rose from his den, from his thicket, and therefore, this is pasuk is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar attacking the Jewish people. What's the reference to the bear? Dov Shokek, a growling bear? That's a reference to Achashverosh. Dersiv Bey, that's the gears that we have that it says about Achashverosh. Others have the gears over here. Dersiv Gabe Paras says about the Persian people. Va'aru Cheva, Achari Tinyana, Domya Lido. It says, and you will see another beast. There were these four beasts that were the Nevuah that Daniel had, that there will be four beasts, each representing one of the Nebuch terrible kingdoms that persecuted Klal Yisrael. And after the first one, which was the Ari, that was the lion, representing Babel and Nebuchadnezzar, so the second one was Persia, and that was Achashverosh. So they saw the second creature, Achare Tinyana, they saw after the first one a second creature, a cheva, another creature, Domilado, that had the appearance of a bear. The Tani of Yosef, Rav Yosef said about this, Elu Parsiim, this is a reference to the Persians, the Parsiim, Sh'ochlim v'sh'osim kidov, that they eat and drink like a bear, U'misubalim basa kidov, they're very big and large like a bear, they're beefy, they're large, and Umagadlin Seyar Kidov, and they're very hairy like a bear. Ve'elam Anuchal Kidov, and likewise they can't sit still like a bear. They have to jump around, and they have to attack Klal Yisrael. And then it tells us, Moshel Rasha, who's that a reference to in the Pasuk? Zehaman. It's a reference to the wicked Haman. Al-Amdol, and he was able to succeed for a while over a weak, impoverished nation. That's the Jewish people. El Yisrael, Shehem Dalin min ha-mitzvos. Because Nebuch, we didn't do enough mitzvos, so therefore we're called poor, impoverished, because we were Dal min ha-mitzvos. That was Rish Lakish's opening. Rabbi Lazar, Pasach Lepiskol, Ha-Par Shasa Nehocha. When he would give the shir on Esther, so he would go and start off his shiurim with the following drasha, and he would quote the Pasuk that we have from Koheles, and it says, Bat Saltayim Yimach HaMikore. Because of laziness, so the roof collapses. U'bishiflus Yodayim, and because of hands that weren't working properly, weren't doing the right things, Yidlof HaBayis. The house will also fall down, the roof will have leaks in it, and it will leak in. So how do we darshan this? So he darshaned it in the following manner. Bishul Atzlus Shehoyolem Yisrael, because of the laziness of Klai Yisrael, Shelo Oskar V'Torah, that we didn't learn enough Torah, so that allowed our enemies to overcome us. Nasu Sonu Shalai Kodesh Baruch Hu Moch. That allowed the enemies of Kodesh Baruch Hu to become poor. Now again, this is a euphemism over here. We don't want to say HaKodesh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom became poor. In other words, because Klai Yisrael sinned, HaKodesh Baruch Hu didn't help us and protect us, so therefore we became poor. And it says, "Ein moch el ani." Moch is a reference to a poor person. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, "Yemochu merkecha." During the dinim of Arochin, to evaluate, you say, a person says, "Erkelai, my value based upon my age and upon my gender is donated," or his value based upon his age and gender, her value based upon her age and gender is donated. So it uses the terminology: if you can't fulfill your pledge, "Yemochu merkecha." If you're too poor to fulfill your pledge, and that's what it means. Moch means poor. And it says, Ein Makara, the one who is the roofer, that's El Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a reference to El Kodesh Baruch Hu. Where do we see that? Shedemar, the pasuk says, HaMekara, he roofs, B'mayim, with water, Al Yosav, his attic. So therefore, El Kodesh Baruch Hu is the roofer that we're referring to. When Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok would give his shir on Megillas Esther, he would say, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Pasach LaPiskol, HaPar Shoso Neyocho. He would start off his introductory comments to his shir on Megillas Esther with the following drasha. And he brought down a capital of Tilim Kuf Chav Dalit, Shemalus Ludovid, that's the word that's missing over here, Lule Hashem Shoyalonu, Yomener Yisrael, Lule Hashem Shoyalonu, Bekum Aleinu Adam. And what's this a reference to? This is what I alluded to before. It says, Adam will take us over Velo Melech. And this is a reference to Haman. Normally, Klai Yisrael is only subjugated by a king, but here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu led Haman, and that's why it says he had to raise him up to be the Sheni LaMelech, and only then was he able to go and subjugate Klai Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally doesn't let us fall to just any Tom, Dick, and Harry. We only fall to great individuals, at least great from a point of view of being powerful secular leaders. When Rava would give his shiurim on the Megillah, he started off the following way. Rava posach lo pitzchol lo ha'par shosin yocha. He would darshan the following drasha before he gave his shiurim on Megillah's Esther. And he dashed in this pasuk for Mishle, it says, Birvos tzadikim yismach ha'om. When the tzadikim are brought forward, so the people get happy. So in other words, when we honor the righteous, so then the people get happy. U'bimshol rasha, however, when a rasha rules, yonachom, the people unfortunately get very sad. They are unfortunately going to be in trouble. Anach is like a sighing, a terrible tragedy. So we darshan each half of this pasuk. Brivos tzadikim yismach ha'am. That's a reference to Zeh Mordechai and Esther. When the tzadikim are uplifted, so the people rejoice. So Mordechai and Esther became the heads after Haman was deposed. So then it says, Dilsiv, v'yishushan. So all of us in Mecha, everybody's very happy. And vice versa, the other way. When Haman rose, u'v'mishol rasha, yanacham. Everybody was very, very sad, and they all sighed. That's a reference to Haman. Zeh Haman, Dilsiv, v'yishushan novocha. And everybody was very, very sad in Shushan when they elevated Haman to be the Sheni LaMelech. Rav Mas Noam Amayocha, Rashi explains that this is the same exact thing. This is when he would give a shir on Megillas Esther, so it just gives us a shorthand, the Pasach Pitzchot doesn't go through the entire phrases that we had before, but it meant that he would also start off his drasha with the following Pasuk, and he brings down a Pasuk from Devarim, where it says, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim milov. Who are the nations so fortunate as Kaiso that were always near HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, Haman, who wanted to say that, no, we are far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there, it's a great time, Achashverosh, you'll start with the Jews, because they're far from God, they're am mefuzar mefurad, they're not, at this point in time, loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore, now's the time to attack them. No, we're always close to God. That's what Rav Masna started off. Similarly, Rav Ashi Omar Hocha, when he would give his shir on Megillah, he started off, and darshan the following pasuk, it says, Oh, Aniso Elokim Gomer, so this is also a pasuk from Devarim, which the entire pasuk talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, so too, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman or Russia. Now, the Gersa that we have seems to indicate that we're going to start to learn the Megillah right now, which we're going to do later in the shir. And the words, Vahi b'me'ach ha'shirosh, Amarav, Vai v'hi, that this is a drash over here to say that when we have the word Vaihi, it meant a terrible time for Klai Yisrael. Vai is Vai, that's the part of Vaihi is Vai, and He is also a Lashon of Avelus. So therefore, Vaihi, it was a terrible time for the Jewish people, b'me'ach ha'shirosh. That's the way Rav understood this. However, both the Vilna Gaon and the Bach seem to say that this is out of place over here, and actually we're going to continue darshaning many original statements that the Amoraim would start their shir with before they went into the actual shir on the Megillah, so this is actually out of place. It's not wrong. It should be said later on when we start actually darshaning the Megillah. So therefore, Hador d'chsiv, some say that this is still a continuation of what Rav said, this proves what Rav said, but others say no, that he would start off the drasha before he would give his shir on the Megillah with the following words, and he would bring down this pasuk that we have also from Dvarim, where it says, Vismakartem sham loivecha, you'll be sold over there to your enemies, lavadim, to serve as slaves, ulishvachos, as maidservants, vigomer. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains over here that this will be a terrible thing for the Jewish people. The end of the pasuk says, v'ein koneh, so that means nobody will buy them. So gozer Haman, Haman HaRasha, was gozer, shalehi adem rashoi liknos behem levin, that he sold us into slavery, but he didn't allow anybody to buy us in slavery. So that's the rishus over here of Haman HaRasha. So some suggest this is a continuation of what Rav said. Why was it such a terrible time for the Jewish people? Because of this pasuk that explains that we weren't even able to be sold as slaves. Nobody wanted us. Others say, no, this was the way they started off the drasha when they would give the drasha on the Megillah. Ushmul Amar, Shmuel said, when he would give his shirum on Megillah Esther, he started off with the following drasha. He darshaned the pasuk from Vayikra, Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalusam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let us be destroyed. Now, what is this drasha? He divides it up. Lo me'astim, that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy us, be me'yivonim, in the days of the Greeks. Lo ga'altim, he didn't destroy us, be me'nevuchadnezzar. And then it says, l'chalusam, that's a reference to Haman, be me'haman, he didn't destroy us. And then the pasuk concludes, we didn't read this, but the pasuk concludes, lo fer b'si yitam, that's a reference to he didn't destroy us, be me'parsiyim, and k'yene Hashem. Hello, Kham. So that is referencing Bimei Gog u'Magog, that Hashem will not let anybody destroy us. He won't let Nebuchadnezzar destroy us. He won't let Haman destroy us. He won't let the pious destroy us. He won't let Gog u'Magog destroy us. He's always with us. Now, b'masnisatana, we learned in the following brayso a different drasha on this pasuk. Lo miyastim, that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow us to be destroyed. Bimei Kastim, during the days of the Kastim. And he gave us the leadership of Daniel, Hanani, Mishov, and Azariah to go and protect us from the Kasdim. Lo Gialtim, that's a reference to Bimei Yevonim. According to this drasha, it's talking about during the days of the Greeks. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to save us then? Shemad Hilem, Shimon HaTzadik. He said for us, Shimon HaTzadik, V'chashmonoi, Ubanov, and all the Chashmonoim and the children, Umatishol Kohen Gadol, and they saved us from the Assyrian Greeks, from the Yevonim. Then the pasuk says, "L'chalusam." That's a reference. He saved us. Bimei Haman. What did he do? Shemati lahem. Mordechai Esther. He of course gave us Mordechai and Esther to save us. And l'hofer brisi itam. What is that reference to? That's a reference to Bimei Parsiim. And who saved us there? Shemati lahem. Shalbeis Rebbe v'chachmei Doris. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Rebbe and all the other Tanoim and the Chachmei Doris to save us from them. And it concludes, "Keni Hashem Elokeihem." So that's l'asid lavo. That's a reference to the future. Shein kol umah v'lasho, that there will be no nation and no group that will be able yichol lishlopem to go and defeat Klai Yisrael. Reb Levi Omar Meyacha. When Reb Levi would give his share on the Megillah, he said the following. He opened up with the pasuk from Bamidbar, where it says, "Lo sorishu es yoshvei aretz." If you don't go and get rid of all the people living in Eretz Yisrael, the Zayinumos, it'll come back to haunt you. And that's exactly what happened when they didn't wipe out Agag, who was the Melech of the Amalekim. So then they didn't wipe him out. Shaul HaMelech didn't wipe him out. So he was able to have a child right before the day before Shmuel killed him. And as a result, that led to the birth of Haman. Then we continue. Reb Chiya, when he would give his drashas, he said as follows. Omar Meyocha, he would start off his lectures on Megillas Esther with the following. When it will come to that point in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want to do to them, Eselachem, he will do to them. What's this a reference to? So the Farshim point out that if you don't go and get rid of your enemies, then those enemies will come back to haunt you. So he darshaned it out from this pasuk, the same drasha that Reb Levi had, that when Shaul didn't kill Agag, that unfortunately led to Haman being allowed to be born. Now we start darshening the Megillah. So we had before Vahi b'mei Achashverosh. So that drasha that we had before from Rav, so someone inserted over here. But in any event, we're just going to continue darshening Achashverosh. Omar Rav. Rav said, why was he called Achashverosh? Achiv Shorosh. He was the brother of the head. We'll see in a moment. The head is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Or Ben Gilu Shorosh, and he had a similar attitude towards the Jewish people as did the Rosh and the Nebuchadnezzar. Rashi says, Kloma Domolo, they were very similar. Now, again, I already told you what the Gemara is going to say. Gemara says, Achiv Shorosh, Achiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rosh, and Nikshorosh. He was considered like the brother of Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't really physically brothers, but he was comparable to Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, he's called his brother in rishus, in horribleness. And Shenemar, the pasuk says, Antu Reishe Di Dahaba. He was referred to as the head of gold. That's Nebuchadnezzar. So he's the brother of the head. That's why Achashverosh is called the brother of the head. Ben Gilo Shorosh, as I pointed out from Rashi, it means Domolo. He was similar to him. What did he want to do? He wanted to be like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who harag, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuch killed so many people. So Bikesh Laro, so too Achashverosh wanted to kill many people. Who Achriv, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuch destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So too, Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Bikesh Lahachriv, it was already destroyed, but he wanted to not allow it to be rebuilt. So he stopped them from rebuilding it. Shneemar, Uvu Malchus Achashverosh, Betchilas Malchuso, Kosu Sitna, Ayoshua Yudu Rishlaim. His predecessor, Koresh, had started rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. This is the first Koresh who came into power after his father, Daryevish, the Modai from Modai was killed, and Koresh had allowed him to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi tells us, that he had allowed Zerubbabel to go back and build the Beis HaMikdash, and now he, you know, Achashverosh, when he came to power, he accepted Sitna, as Rashi says, Shenimna L'satan Lahem Shlo Yivanu. So he accepted all the Lashon Hara about the Jewish people rebelling, and he had them stop building the Beis HaMikdash during the early part of his reign. So therefore, that's what these psukim mean. He wanted to be just like the Nebuchadnezzar. Just like the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so he didn't allow the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. It's interesting. It says that anybody who lives in a time when the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt is as if they lived in a time when it's destroyed. So here, the similar idea. Achashverosh didn't allow the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. It's as if he destroyed it. Okay. Ushmuel darshan as follows. Ushmuel amar, shuhushcharu. Why was it called Achashverosh? Because hushchur pneim shall yisrael biyamav. That everybody's face became black, so to say, from poverty and from difficulties during the days of Achashverosh, kishule kitero, like the bottom of a pot that's black from all the soot that's in the bottom of the pot. That's Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol shezochro, anybody that mentioned Achashverosh's name, Amar och lerosho. So och lerosho means a pain. So it's like they had a headache. If you mentioned his name, you got a headache. Others explained that there was a curse, and they said that he should be cursed. His head should be cursed. Everybody became impoverished during his daytime, as the pasuk at the end of the Megillah says. He had spent so much money on those glorious, glamorous parties, so he essentially bankrupted the government. So he collected a tremendous amount of taxes, so therefore he made everybody else poor. We continue to ask in the Megillah, it says, what does that mean? When it uses the terminology, who Achashverosh? Of course, who else are we talking about? What does it mean, who Achashverosh? So that word who comes to tell us, who Berisho Mitchilo Soviet Sofu. He was the same wicked Russia from beginning to end. And we see the word who is often meaning that, from beginning to end, from A to Z. And it says by Esav, who Esav, that means who Berisho Mitchilo Soviet Sofu. Esav is also referred to as being a Russia from beginning to end, A to Z. Similarly, who Dasa Vaviran, Hem Berishon, Mitrilosan Vyatsof. And so too Dasan Aviran referred to as who Dasa Vaviran. So it tells us that they're rotten, they're scoundrels from A to Z, from beginning to the end, from the core all the way through. Similarly, it says, who Amelech Ochoz, again, Chizkiyahu's father was a terrible king, and he is referred to as who Hamelech Ochoz, teaching us again, who Berishon, Mitrilosan Vyatsof. So he's rotten through and through to the core. Okay, now, on the other hand, we can sometimes use the word who. It doesn't mean bad. It means through and through. So Avram, who Avram? It tells us that Avram is Avram. Now, this is from Divrei Hayom. It doesn't say that in the Torah. Of course, we know the Torah. It tells us that his name was changed from Avram to Avraham. But in Divrei Hayom, it tells us that specifically he was Avram, who's the same person that became known as Avraham. So why does it say who Avraham? Who Mitzikol Mitzvilosav Yatzofu? Avraham was righteous. He was a tzaddik from beginning to end, through and through. Likewise, it says who Avraham v'Moshe, to teach us the same idea. Hem Mitzikol Mitzvilosav Yatzofu. They were righteous from the very beginning to the end. Likewise, the David, who I caught them. David was the youngest one. Now, it's telling us that he was the youngest son of Yishai, and that's why when Shmuel went to seek who would be the next king, so Shmuel and Yishai didn't think it would be the youngest son. So it says, the David, who I caught that he was the youngest son, but he was very, very humble. Katan could mean humble, so he was very, very humble. Even from his very lowly upbringings, it was thought for the first 28 years of life that the whole famous story about David HaMelech, that he was considered to be, his mother was Mazana. That was the thought, the concern that people had that he was actually a mamzer. But in any event, of course, he was not. But the David, who I caught him, just like he was humble then, so he was humble even when he became the king. The Gemara gives us another example of his humbleness, and that is that when he was younger, he would obviously go and learn Torah by the feet of the great tzaddikim of his generation. His father Yishai was the Gadol HaDor, so he subjugated himself to Yishai and to his other Rabbanim. And then even when he was the king, he still subjugated himself to these Rabbanim, even though he was greater than them. And the Gemara in Brachas tells us the famous story how Mephibosheth would tell him, Mephibosheth was actually Saul's grandchild, according to most, and he was David's Rebbe. And even though David was the king then, he would go to Mephibosheth and ask him, Did I pass it correctly? And Mephibosheth told him, no, you didn't. Albeit, it really was, David was right. And eventually, David's son, Kileab, who was one of the four great people that never died because of sin, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, there should be death into the world. So Kileab was Kaliab. He removed the embarrassment from his father, and he proved that Mephibosheth was wrong. In any event, this is the great David HaMelech. He was David who HaKotet. He was humble throughout his life. Even when he was the king, it didn't bother him to go and ask somebody else, and did I pass incorrectly? And when the other person said he passed incorrectly, he listened to him. The Gemara continues further with darshaning of the Megillah. It says, so HaMolech, Amarav, Shemolech, Miatzo. He became the king on his own. So some say this was for good, some say it was for bad. Amar lo l'shvach, v'amar lo l'gnai. Some say this is a positive statement that he was Molech, as Rav said, Be'atzmo, and others say, no, it was a negative. So those that say it's a positive, Amar lo l'shvach, some say that it was a positive statement, to lo havi inish, to choshev l'malko kavasi. There was nobody else as worthy of being the king as he was. So he was HaMolech. Therefore, he was the one who was Molach Me'atzel because he was so worthy. Others say, no, it's the exact opposite. I mean, lo lignai. Others actually did it in a very negative way. To lo havi chozil machusa, umamoni yaseiru hu diyavukam. He really wasn't worthy to be the king. He was a nobody. As Vashti herself tells him, you're a stable boy for my father. Vashti's father was Belshazzar, and you were a little stable boy for my father, and now you think you're the king? So he really wasn't worthy to be king, but he had a lot of money, and he bought the kingship after Belshazzar died. So first Dayovish Hamadai became the king after he defeated Belshazzar. Then his son-in-law Koresh took over, and when Koresh died, so then Achashverosh paid to become the king. So therefore he wasn't worthy. That's why it says Hamolech Lignai. Then it says, Mehodu ya Kush, Achashverosh reigned from Hodu until Kush. So again, two ways to dash this. Rav Shmuel. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar, one of them said, Hodu b'sof ha'olam, Kush b'sof ha'olam. They were opposites of the world. They're 180 degrees apart. And that was to show you how powerful Achashverosh was, that he could rule from all the way, one end of the world, all the way to the other end of the world. But the other one said, either Rav Shmuel, Chadamar, no, Hodu b'kush, Gabi ha'dodi avu kaimei. That in fact, they were right next to each other. And the point of view over here is that he was able to rule over the two places that were right next to him, so he was able to rule over them just like that over the rest of the world. Just like he was able to reign over those two nations that were next to each other, he was so powerful, he could reign over all the rest of the world as well. As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, Ahasuerus is one of the three kings that the Gemara describes reigned the entire world. Molach b'kippa, they reigned over the entire world. Similarly, the Gemara says we have a similar machlokes between Rav Shmuel, Kayotzi v'Dover, Atomer. We have a similar machlokes between Rav Shmuel in regards to the following. It says by Shlomo HaMelech, Kihu rode b'chol eiver hanohar mitisach v'yad Aza. That Shlomo HaMelech ruled over the entire world. He ruled over eiver hanohar from the two places mitisach v'yad Aza. So again, Rav Shmuel, we don't know which one said which. One of them said, "Chadamar mitisach v'sov olam v'yazim sov olam." They were two opposite ends of the world, 180 degrees apart, and therefore that shows his dominion over the entire world. The other one said, no, Tifsach and Aza, Bahadi Adadi, Havu, they're right next to each other. And just like he reigned over them, so close to him, Kishim Shemolach, Tifsach, Vial Aza, Kach Molach, Alkola, Olam Kuru. So too, he reigned over the rest of the entire world as well. The Pasuk in the Megillah continues, he reigned over, Mehodu Akush, Sheba, Yesrim, Umeyo, Medina. He reigned over these 127 states in the world. How do we darshan that? Amar Rechista, Rechista says, B'tchila Malach HaSheva. He started off reigning over seven of them. L'besof Malach HaLesrim. Then he subsequently became the ruler over 20 of these states. L'besof Malach HaMe'ah. And then subsequently, he ruled over 100. Now, that's what the Gemara tells us over here from Rav Chista, but the Gemara says, Elamayata, if you're going to darshan it this way, so then you have to darshan it similarly in other places. How would you darshan when it says about Amram? It says, Ushnei Chaye Amram, Sheva Ushloshim Umiyas Shana. My darsh is Bay. What are you going to darshan for that? If you're telling me here we darshan out 127, 7, 20, and 100, so then how are you darshan out by Amram, 7, 30, and 100? What drush is there for that? So therefore, the Gemara says, no, the original drush that we had was correct. Shiny Hocha de Kroy Yiseru. It didn't have to tell us this 127, so therefore Rav Chista has a right to say, since it's extra, I'm darshaning it first 7, then 20, and then subsequently 100. Shiny Hocha de Kroy Yiseru. That's because here there's an extra words. It just told us that he was reigning Mehodu Vakush. Michtei. Now we have to ask ourselves, it says Ksiv Mehodu Vakush, so it already told me that he reigned from Hodu Vakush. Why do you have to tell me Sheva V'yasrim Umiyah Medina? Lomeli. What possible additional knowledge would I get from knowing that? Oh, it must be that it's open to drosha. And that's what Rav Chista said. First he ruled over 7, then he ruled over 20, and then he ruled over 100. And that's how you get the total of 127 states. Shema mina l'drosha. Oh, since it's extra, it's a good drosha. Well, continues, brings down the following braisa. Tana Rabbanan, shlosh avalchu b'kipa. There were three rulers of the world that ruled over the entire world. Tosus points out, in Diramasu shlosh, all the way at the bottom of the daf, and he says, aye, how come we're not including Alexander Mokdon, Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedonia? Why? Mishum de lo ayri hocha ela ba'osam haksuvim leheja. Because here we don't have a pasuk telling us that. It was true. The Gemara describes that in Yuma, that he ruled over the entire world. However, it doesn't have a pasuk in Tanakh, and therefore we're only including in this price of those kings where we have a pasuk from Tanakh that tells us they ruled over the whole world. And who are these three kings? Ve'eluhein, Achav, the other gear. So we have is Achashverosh and Nebuchadnezzar. On the side it says it should flip them around because Nebuchadnezzar became before Achashverosh. So the three kings are Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh. What are the sources for the psukim for each of them? As we just said from Tosos, there has to be a source from the pasuk in Tanakh. So Achav, where do we see that Achav ruled Bekipa? He ruled over the entire world. It was like a dome. He ruled over the entire world. Where does it say that? Tirsiv, we have a pasuk. This pasuk is from Lochem Aleph, where it tells us, Chai Hashem Elokecha. It says, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is alive and is the God. Im Yesh Goy Umam Lecha. Now, Achav was looking for Eliyahu HaNavi, and he couldn't find him, and he sent messengers to every single place in the world, and in fact, the Gears on the side, it says that he sent the messages to them, and they responded, Varmu Oyin, we don't know where he is. V'yishbiya, now the Gears on the side, it says, V'yishbiya Esagoy V'yishamam L'cha, but it's really, if you look in the Pasuk, it's really V'yishbiya Esamam L'cha V'yishagoy. So, he made them all swear, all over the world, that they didn't know where Eliyahu was. Now, if he wasn't the king over the entire world, how could he get everybody to swear? So you see from here, V'ilo, Dahava, Molech, Alayu, Hechimotzi, Mashbaluhu. If he wasn't the king over the whole world, so how could he force everybody to swear to him that they didn't know where Eliyahu was? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, where do we see that Nebuchadnezzar was Molech Bikipa, that he ruled over the entire world? So here we have a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where it says, Dechsev, V'hoya, Hagoy, V'hamam Locha. And we leave some words out. There won't be a single nation in the world that doesn't serve the Melech Bavel, that doesn't serve Nebuchadnezzar. They aren't under their yoke. So therefore, you see that he reigned over the entire world. That's what the Pasuk Yirmiyahu testifies. New Achashverosh, where do we see that? Oh, Hodamarin. We just said, Mehodu V'Akush, Sheva, V'Yisrim Miyah, Medina. He ruled over the entire world, Mehodu V'Yad Kush. So these three kings are the only three kings that this Brisa says that ruled over the entire world. And again, as we pointed out, Alexander the Great wasn't included here because it's not mentioned in Tanakh. We turn to the Aleph of the Beis, and more questions, and says, first he gives us a simon. Rashi says this simon over here, which we say out, is Shas Doch. And Rashi says this is a simon for Shlomo HaMelech, Sancheirib, Daryovesh, and Koresh. And the Gemara is really going to ask, these four kings also ruled over the whole world that we just mentioned from Rashi, so why aren't they included in this Raisa? The Suleka, are there only those three kings that you mentioned, Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh, that ruled Molech Bekipa? What about these other four kings? Well, Iko Shlomo, we start off with the shin from this simon. What about Shlomo HaMelech? He ruled over the whole world. So when it says, Lo Solik Malchusei, as Rashi points out, Lo Hishlim Malchuso, Shari Nitrad, Kidamir Masech is Gittin, the famous story in Gittin, where we have Ashmodai, who took over Shlomo Melech's shape and form and kingship, and Shlomo Melech became a regular person. So, therefore, according to this version, Shlomo HaMelech didn't finish his reign. He was stopped in the middle by Ashmedai, so therefore he's not included. So Gemara says, that's great if you say the Shlomo HaMelech was a king and then he was a hedgeot. Ha'nich l'man d'yomar melech, and then the hedgeot, and then that's it. El l'man d'yomar melech, hedgeot, but then he became king again, u'melech, so then Michael Meimar, so then he was returned to his glory, so he was Hishlim. So how come he's not included in one of the four kings that reigned over the whole world, Bekipa, only the three kings are mentioned in the Braisa? Shmuel says, no, there's something special about Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo Milsachrite Havabei. He was even greater than those other three kings. He had something more than them. They were only Molach Bekipa on this world, but Shlomo HaMelech reigned over the Shadim as well. Shemolach Alhu Elyonim, the Alath Haktonim, the Elyonim of the Shadim. He ruled over Ashmedai, he captured Ashmedai. Subsequently, Ashmedai broke away, but subsequently he recaptured him again, according to one version. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech was greater than just Molach Bekipa, because he was Molach Al Ha'Elyonim V'Al HaTachtonim, as the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim tells us, Shenemar, V'Yeshev Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem, he was sitting on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, that he was above the Shadim, and therefore, that's what it means, that he wasn't included over here, because he reigned not only on this world, Molach Bekipa on this world, but also Ba'Elyonim over the Shadim, so he's not included. It would have been a diminution of his greatness to say he's only Molach Bekipa. Okay, so that's why Shlomo Melech is not included. What about the Samach? The Samach stands for Sancheirub. Sancheirub conquered almost the whole world, as we'll see. So the Gemara asks, well, obviously Sancheirub, Tosivit says, Yibichol Elohei Ha'aretzos, who amongst all the idols, the Elohei here is a Lashon Chol, it's talking about the idols, who are the gods of all these nations, Ha'elah that I conquered, Asher Yitzilu Esaretzomidi, has one of them had the power to stop me? In other words, he conquered the entire world. So Sancheirub should have been listed in this braisa. There should have been four kings of Molach Bekipa. So it says, no. Ha'ikar Yerushalayim. We know, of course, that Sancheirub tried to conquer Yerushalayim. And that's when the great miracle occurred. Chizkiyahu stopped him. Kadosh Baruch Hu had the Malachim sing Shira. And the Shira went into the nostrils of all his generals. And 2 million plus people died at that time. And Sancheirub was defeated. He never conquered Yerushalayim. So therefore, Ha'ikar Yerushalayim, the little Kavsha. And therefore, he didn't conquer the world. Gemara says, okay, so the next one of the mnemonic is the Dalid, that stands for Daryavish. For Ikar Daryavish, it says about him, Dersiv, it says in the Pasuk in Daniel that Daryavish also conquered the world. Daryavish, Malka, Kisab L'chol Amamaya, Umaya V'lishanaya. He wrote down to all the peoples of the world, all the different peoples, all the different nations, all the different languages, Dai Dayorin, all the people that live in the world, Bechol Aro, all over, Shalom Chon Shiske. He wished them peace. In other words, you should have lots of peace. Yiske should go and dominate. In other words, he wrote to everybody, this is what I'm telling you. The great miracle that God made for Daniel. He said from the lion's den, the Govo Arayos. So he's telling the whole world about this. But you see that he told the whole world. If he told the whole world, he must have ruled over the whole world. Shmuel says, no. There were seven nations he didn't rule over. Close but no cigar. Just like Sancheirub ruled over the whole world but Yerushalayim, so too, Daryavish ruled over most of the world, but there were seven nations that he didn't rule over. Ha'ikar Sheva, the Lomolach Alayu, there were seven nations that he didn't rule over. As the Pasuk also in Daniel tells us, Dersiv, it says there, Shifar Kodom Daryavish, there was something that made Daryavish very happy. V'hakim ha'machuso l'achshdar panya me'ah v'esrim. He appointed 120 officers over the 120 nations that he had conquered. So obviously there's seven missing, there were 127 nations. Daryavish lived just a few years before Achashverosh, so it didn't suddenly become seven new nations, so therefore he didn't conquer those seven nations. The Pasuk says that he sent out to the entire world, so that seemed to include even the 127 nations, not 120. So the answer is, he wanted to let everybody know, but he didn't rule over those other seven nations. They were still independent nations. He let them know about the amazing miracle with Daniel and the Govar Arayas, even though he wasn't their ruler. Okay, finally, the last one in the mnemonic was Koresh. Koresh ruled over the whole world too. Why wasn't he included in the Braisa? Why only three, not Koresh? For Ika Koresh, Tersiv, as the Pasuk tells us in Ezra, it says, Ko Amar Koresh Melech Pras. Koresh, the king of Pras, said, Kol Mamlechos Aretz Nasali Hashem. Every nation on the world has been given over to me. I've conquered all of them. Nope, sounds like he was Molach Bekipa. So where he says, no, he was just fooling himself. He was aggrandizing himself. He was saying, I'm the ruler of the entire world, but he really wasn't. So therefore, that pasuk just shows you what an arrogant person he was, what a blusterous person he was, but he wasn't really the ruler of the whole world. So all four of these kings that we mentioned in the mnemonic, Shas Dach, really weren't Molach Bekipa, or in Shlomo's case, they were more than Molach Bekipa, and that's why the Braisa only listed Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh. We continue darshin in the Megillah by Yomim Mahem Kisheves Hamelach Ashriosh Bechisei Malchuso, and then it says Zuchsid Basrei Bishna Shalosh Tomocho. Now which one is it? Kisheves Hamelach sounds like at the start of his reign, but then it says in the third year of his reign. So which one is it? So Amar Rava says, what does it mean? My Kisheves Hamelach Achashriosh. What does that mean? It means not at the beginning of his reign. It means La'achar Shnisyashva Daito, when he became comfortable. Bishnas Shalosh L'molcho, in the third year of reign, that's when he became comfortable. And what was this comfort about? Because he said, the last of the Babylonian kings, Belshazzar, who was defeated by Dayovish Hamadai, so Omar Belshazzar, Chishei V'toh, Belshazzar made a mistake. He thought that the 70 years up, there was a prophecy that Yirmiyahu had given that there would be 70 years of Galus. And then, when those 70 years had passed, at least in Belshazzar's mind, and it didn't occur that Klal Yisrael was restored to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, so he said that that prophecy of Yirmiyahu was null and void, or it wasn't real, and Chishev, he calculated out the 70 years, but he made a mistake. And he said, Achashverosh said, Ano, however, I, Chashivna Velotina, I won't make the same mistake that Belshazzar did. Belshazzar calculated the 70 years too quickly. I won't make that same mistake, albeit we'll see that he did. He made a similar mistake, not the exact same mistake, but he also calculated before the 70 years were really up. As now the Gemara will tell us what the miscalculations of Belshazzar were and also the miscalculation of Achashverosh. So, Mahi, what are these miscalculations? The Gemara says, Tichsiv, we have the famous Pasuk from Yirmiyahu that tells us that the Golos Bavel will be 70 years. Tichsiv, ki lefi melos lebavel shivim shana, you'll be in Golos in Bavel for 70 years, efko tishem, and then I will redeem you and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. That was the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, and Belshazzar was very worried about this, Achashverosh was very worried about this, and when they thought the 70 years had passed, then they said, no, this Nevuah is null and void. Now, uksiv, lemalos lecharvos Yerushalayim shivim shana, that only after you complete the 70 years will you be able to go back to Yerushalayim. Now, this pasuk that we just read was from Daniel, and Belshazzar misunderstood it. And he said, how do we calculate the 70 years? Chashov, he says, you have to go calculate Arboin v'chamesh Nebuchadnezzar. His Zayde Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king for 45 years. The Gemara will prove how we know that. And his father, Evel Merodach, that was his name, Evel Merodach. Yes, the Evel Merodach, my father, so that's 23 years, so 45 plus 23 is 68. Retati Didei, and now I'm the king already for 2 years. That's the total of 70 years, Hoshivim. And therefore, what do you see? The Jewish people aren't back in Yerushalayim. The temple isn't rebuilt. Oh, Afik money to Beit Mikdash. I can now take out from their hiding place the vessels that we stole, all the clay kodesh from the Beis HaMikdash, the Maizei, the Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from the Beis HaMikdash, v'yishtamishpu, and now I can use them as my china at the state dinner, because the prophecy of Yirmiyahu is null and void. It ain't coming true, because the 70 years are up, and the Jewish people aren't back. Must be that that prophecy is not real, or it's not going to happen. The Jewish people lost out, whatever the reason, on this prophecy, and now I can go and use these the utensils, the kalim, from the Beis HaMikdash any way I want. And this was a terrible mistake, for which he gave up his life for. He lost to Dayovish Hamadai. That's, we have the famous prophecy, the writing on the wall that Daniel interpreted to him that says, you're going to die tonight. Tekel, money ufarse. So we're going to now see how we get these 70 years that he miscalculated. Gemara says, how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar was reigning king for 45 years? Obviously, Belshazzar knew that, but how are we supposed to calculate it out? So Gemara says, because the master said, Golu, Klal Yisrael was Golu B'Sheva and Golu B'Shmona. That doesn't make any sense. They were Nigla in the 7th year and the 8th year. What does that mean? And then likewise, it says Golu B'Shmona Esrei and Golu B'Chai Esrei. They were Golos, went to the Golos in the 18th year and the 19th year. What does that mean? This enigmatic statement of the master needs to be explained. So Gemara says as follows. We know, we have to do a little history lesson over here, that the last kings of Klal Yisrael, they were Yehoyakim, and then Yehoyachin, and then finally we had Tzidkiyahu. So we had these kings at the end of the Malchus Yehuda, the last kings of Eretz Yisrael, until we go and return to have the real king, Melech HaMashiach. So it says, when did this happen? When did we have Golos Yehoyachin? As we have in the Megillah, that Yehoyachin went to the Golos. What year did that happen? Golu B'Sheva L'Kibush Yehoyakim. That was in the 7th year after Yehoyakim was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. That's when Yehoyachin's Golos started. Now, that was the 8th year that Nebuchadnezzar became a king from the start of his kingship. Shishmona Nebuchadnezzar. The first year Nebuchadnezzar became the king, he defeated Paro in Nineveh, And that was year one. In year two, he defeated Jehoiakim. And then in the seventh year after he defeated Jehoiakim, that's when Jehoiachin became the king for 3 months and he sent him into Golus. That was, again, the 7 and 8. It depends what you're counting from. It's 7 from the kibush of Jehoiakim, which is the 8th year from the start of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Likewise, when we have the second part of the statement from Omar Mar, the 18th year, the 19th year, again, it refers to the same thing. Kol b'shmon esrei, the kibush of Jehoiakim. It was the 18th year from the destruction of Jehoiakim, which was Golus Tzidkio. That's when Tzidkio went into Golus, which was the 19th year from the start of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Sheet Shai Esrei Nebuchadnezzar. So 7, 8, 18, 19, it depends. What you're referring is your base point. Are you referring to the start of Nebuchadnezzar's reign? So then it's going to be 8 and 19. If you're referring to the second year of his reign, when he defeated Jehoiakim, so then it's going to be 7 and 18. So there's no contradiction there. We know that Nebuchadnezzar reigned for 19 years before he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Yom HaMar, Shona Rishona, Kibesh Nineveh. In the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he defeated Nineveh. He defeated Paru and Nineveh. And in the second year, Shnia, Kibesh Jehoiakim. In the second year, he defeated Jehoiakim. So that's where we get these numbers. Now, how do we get to 45? So it says, Uksib, Vahi Bishloshim Vosheva Shona. It was in the 37th year, Legolus Jehoiakim, from the Golus that Jehoiakim went into Melch Yudah, which was Bishnei Moser Chodesh, in the 12th month, B'Esim V'Chamisha L'Chodesh, on the 25th day of the 12th month, the 25th day of Adar, Nosa Evel Merodach Melech Bavel. Evel Merodach was Nebuchadnezzar's son, who was the king of Bavel after Nebuchadnezzar, Bishnas Malchuso, in the year of his reign, as Rosh Yochin Melech Yudah, after his father died, in his first year of his reign, which was 37 years after the Golus of Yochin, Vayotzi Yosami Beis HaKlu. Jehoiakim lived that entire time in Golus. For those 37 years, he lived in Golus. And in the first year of the reign of Evel Merodach, he took him out of Golus. He took him out of the Beis HaKlu. He took him out of the jail. Now, he went into Golus 8 years from the start of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And 7 years from when Jehoiakim was destroyed. So 8 plus 37 is 45. That's how we get the 45 years that Nebuchadnezzar reigned. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. Timane, 8 years before Jehoiakim was in Golus, that's when Nebuchadnezzar reigned. Then it's the Tloshon Lusheva until Nebuchadnezzar died and Evel Merodach took over. So we see, Hare Arboin, the Chamesh Nebuchadnezzar. There were 45 years and Nebuchadnezzar was the king. Very long, horrible king. Okay. Now the Gemara says, how do we know that his son, Evel Merodach, was king for 23 years? The Esrin Utlas, the 23 years, the Evel Merodach. How do we know that? Gemara, that we have a tradition. We have a Masorah, we don't have Psukim, but that's 23. So 23 and 45 is 68. Vetarte Didei, and the 2 years that Belshazzar himself was in reigning before he said, the 70 years are up. So that's the 70 years, Hoshivin. And that was the mistake that he made, because it wasn't supposed to be counted from the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, when Jehoiachin went into Golus, and that was his mistake. And he said, Omar, Hashto Vadei Tulo Mifrake. I see that the Jewish people aren't going to be redeemed. The 70 years that Yirmiyahu had prophesied, they'll come and gone, and nothing has happened. Apik money, I can take out the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Mekdasha, Bishtamish Buvan. I can use them as my china. I can use them as my goblets. I knew the Karmel of Daniel, and that's what Daniel told him. You are in a lot of trouble, Belshazzar. You're going to die. The Al Mare Shmaya Hisramamta, you went up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You aggrandized yourself against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the money, the base, and the utensils of the base of Migdash, Hayisiv Kadamach, you put in front of you, you're in trouble. Osiv, and it says, Bei Belelya Kitil Belshazzar Malko Kazdor. That very night, Belshazzar was killed. Osiv, and it further says, Vedayovish Mador, Dayovish the Modai, Kabel Machusa took over the kingship, he conquered Bavel, that was the end of Bavel. And how old was he at that time? Kivar Shnin. Shisin Visartin. He was how old? 62 years old at the time that Dayovesh Hamadai conquered Belshazzar. Now, Achashverosh said, I ain't going to make the same mistake. Omar, Iyu Mitoi Toi. Belshazzar made a mistake. I know Chashiv Novelotu. You know, I'm going to calculate it out and not make a mistake. He said, how do you calculate it out? Mikasivil Machus Bavel. Did Yirmiyahu say that it'll be from the king of Bavel? No. Le Bavel Ksiv. It's talking about Bavel, not the king of Bavel. And what does it mean, Le Bavel? My Le Bavel? It means Le Golus Bavel. It means from the time that Bavel exiled Jehoiachin. Not from the start of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, but from the time that they went into Golus. Now, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed yet. We know, of course, the 70 years from the time of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. But he thought it was the time that they sent Jehoiachin into Golus. And therefore, he said, it meant Legolus Bavel, which was how much? That's an extra 8 years. So you delete 8 years from the calculation, Kama Bitzeron, Tane. So there's an extra 8 years. So what are those 8 years? So Achashverosh counted. He added these 8 years on, and that was one more year that Belshazzar was the king. The Chomesh, the 5 years, the Daryavish, the Koresh, they were king, the father and the son-in-law were king for 5 years. So that's another five. And now, it was Vitarti Didei. It was 2 years that he was the king, and now, Bishnah Shalosh Lemocho, that's the 70th year, Shivim, and Achashverosh was calculated, and he said, you see, Yirmiyahu's prophecy is over. And what did he do? He now took out the clay hamikdash and he brought them in to be used for his party. So Kivan the Chazi, the Molu Shiva, Velo Yifro, he saw the Jewish people weren't redeemed after his calculation of the 70 years. He said the same thing that Belshazzar had said. They're both wrong. Amar, he said, Hashta now, Vaday Sulo Mifrike, they're definitely not being redeemed. Yirmiyahu's prophecy is null and void. Apik Mone, the Bay Mikdash. I'll take out the utensils from the Bay Mikdash, the clay Mikdash, Vishtamishu, and I can use it for my party. So what happened to him? He didn't die like Belshazzar did, but he was punished in a different way. Bas Satan, the Satan comes, the Rikay Benem, and he danced amongst them, and he caused Achashverosh to get drunk and kill his own wife, Horegas Vashti, and he killed his beloved Vashti, who, by the way, was Belshazzar's daughter. That's how he consolidated the kingship. And in any event, he caused the death of his own wife, Vashti, which you see later in the meal, he was very sad about. He loved Vashti. He's very sad that he killed her, but that's what the Sultan did to him. He didn't kill Achashverosh, but he did something maybe even worse. He killed his own wife. Mar says, but wait a second. Didn't Achashverosh really calculate it correctly? Wasn't that the 70 years? So obviously not. But the Gemara asks, what was wrong with Achashverosh's calculations? So Gemara says, again, Iunami mito toy. He also made a mistake. The boy lelimimne micharvos Yerushalayim, and not from Golus Yo-Yochin. He shouldn't have counted from when Yo-Yochin went in. The Beis HaMikdash was still there. There still was Tzitzkiyahu HaMelech. And therefore he miscalculated. Nebuch was from the time of the Beis HaMikdash destruction that the 70 years began, and not from the period of time before that, the 11 years before that, when there was Golus Yehoyachim. So Gemara says, okay, so let's now do the calculations correctly. Sov, Kama Bitziran, Chadesar, or Chad, sorry, it says on the side. So there are 11 years extra, the 11 extra years after Golus Yehoyachim until the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So wait a second. So then, we know that Achashverosh was doing this in this third year, so you, Kamamolach, so Arbesar, he was the king for 14 years, so at the end of his reign, so that's when the 70 years were up, but that's not true. So then in his 14th year, you add on 11 years to the third year of his reign, so that's when the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, but that's not true. Alom Uksiv, it says 2 years after that, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. As the Pasuk in Ezra says, Beidayin b'telas avidas beis eloko dirushalayim. The work in the Beis HaMikdash was stopped at that time. What time was this talking about? 2 years after Achashverosh was no longer the king. When his son, Esther and his son, according to many, Daryavish, the second, was now the king. So therefore, how can you tell me that this calculation would be the 70 years would have ended 2 years earlier than we have it calculated? So I'm a Rava. Rava says no, because you used up years sometimes here that weren't 4 years. And Amar Rava, Rava says, Shone Mikutos Habu. Some of the years that we described were not 4 years. As Rashi brings down in Dibra Maslu, Shone Mikutos, Osan Shonin Shemaninon Lamala, that 7 years that we calculated out from Achashverosh, Yesh Ben Shinivlo Mishal Achron Barishon. We have some over here that are swallowed up. They were half years, and they're included one in the other. So Kigon, the Daryavish Hamadai, the Koresh, Shemoninon Lehem Heishon, we counted for them 5 years between the father Daryavish Hamadai and the son-in-law Koresh. It was 5 years, no. Lotim so el adalad, it was really 4 years. Rashi then goes through Psukim to show that this is correct. And then the second additional year was we had Nebuchadnezzar as 45 years and Evel Meroduch as 23 years, but the last year of Nebuchadnezzar and the first year of Evel Merodach were counted twice, so to say. So therefore, that's the extra 2 years, and that's how we get to 70, being 2 years after Achashverosh, when Daryavish, his son, allowed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We turn to Yudbeis Amud Aleph, where we have Tanya Namiyochi. The Brisa says the same thing. The old Shana Acheres LeBavel. There was an extra year for Bavel, that Bavel ruled the Jewish people after Belshazzar died. Ba'amar Daryavish Vishlima, and it's counted twice, the year that Daryavish started, Daryavish Hamadai started, and the last year of Belshazzar, so they were counted as two before, but it really was one, and that's how you see that we make up the shonim mikutos. Now, the Gemara is going to question this further tomorrow, but this is a very good break point for us, and with this we conclude today's shiur.